late August of 1939, as war loomed over Europe, curators at the Louvre nestled the world's most famous painting into a special red velvet-lined case and spirited her away to an outside location. Thus began the biggest evacuation of art and antiquities in history. A small army of workers swiftly emptied the Louvre's cavernous galleries of all but the most cumbersome and fragile pieces. At times, Mona Lisa slept at the bedside of curators who were painfully aware of their heavy responsibility. In her new book, Saving Mona Lisa, Jerry Chanel tells us the suspenseful narrative of their battle to keep these priceless treasures out of the hands of Hitler and his henchmen. The name of the book is Saving Mona Lisa, The Battle to Protect the Louvre and Its Treasures During World War II. We welcome Jerry Chanel to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Joe.
It is a fascinating story that you tell, and of course the title is Saving Mona Lisa, and we will get into that specifically in a moment. But this is about saving all of the treasures in this most incredible of museums.
That's correct.
So you wanted to explore really what the work that was before these curators at the Louvre.
Yes, and actually it wasn't just the Louvre, it was also the other museums that were part of the French National Museum system. So, for example, it was also, and this is not the focus of the book, but just to give you an idea of their task, they also were tasked with evacuating the treasures that were at Versailles, Cluny, and some of the other museums as well. So the task was absolutely monumental.
So a little bit of your background, what brought you to this particular story?
I actually went to see I have always been interested in the Louvre and know a lot about its history, but not very much has been written about the period during the war. I went to see an old documentary film about the museum, and they happened to mention in passing that during the war, they hid the Louvre administration hid the artwork from the Nazis, and they told the story that one of the paintings was hidden by using it as a false ceiling in a Paris restaurant. So I came home from the documentary and went to Google to see what I could find about this hidden painting, and I couldn't find anything. But the more I researched, the more I came upon fascinating little tidbits. And ironically, the story of the painting hidden, used as a false ceiling, isn't even true.
And I assume for the sake of a storyteller that you hope that it is true, but it seems as though truth in this case is even sometimes better than the fiction that is created.
In every sense, because the more I researched, the more fascinating it became, and I realized that there was an important story to tell here that was more wonderful than any fiction could create.
When we focus in on the Louvre, it is interesting because the building itself seems like a fortress, as if it could withstand an attack, if you will.
Yes, originally 800 years ago, it was a fortress. That's how the Louvre originally was created. When the King of France went off to the Crusades and he wanted to have the city protected, and it grew from there. But even though what's left today, after it has been expanded over the centuries, is very thick stone, the walls are very thick, as the administration and the curators prepared for war, there was a team of architects that actually tested the ability of various walls and arches to withstand bomb impact, and it was not strong enough for that. So they realized that they had to just simply take everything away.
Give us a sense of the timeline, the deadline, if you will, that curators were working under to save this material.
They actually took out almost everything in days, in a matter of several days. The reason they were able to do that is they had been planning for almost a decade,
right?
Because in many ways the handwriting was on the wall that there would be a second war with Germany. And so they were able to do it that quickly because they had been planning for years. They had actually done really a dry run the year before when they thought there was going to be war. So they started packing at the end of the day on August 25th, and the first trucks left on the 28th.
It seems
really incredible.
It is incredible, and it seems to be such a, and as you say, there were run-throughs, but it seems to be such a methodical approach, because it was if you were taking down the circus for the night to go up in the next town. Everything was coming down. They knew where it was going to be. And the other thing that really surprised me that I thought was so interesting was keeping track of where everything was going.
It was fascinating to look at the archives and to look at the documents they were creating in the planning, especially in the weeks beforehand. Not only did they have a system for creating inventories, they had a system for which paintings would go down which hallways, in which baskets, and which wagons. They measured the paintings and matched it up with the capacity of elevators and stairways. And it was fascinating to look at the maps that documented that were the maps the curators used during the actual evacuation. It was planned down to the last smallest detail.
You have a chapter in the book entitled How to Move a Masterpiece. I mentioned it a little bit in the introduction, but how do you move the Mona Lisa and get ready for such a giant task?
The prior year, when they believed there would be war, they prepared a special case for Mona Lisa that they had made of poplar wood with double walls, cushioned in red velvet. And they took her away in the fall of 1938 for several days, and then when they realized there would not be war, they brought her back. But that's the case in which she traveled throughout the war. But they had to take one special precaution after the other when they evacuated the art in the end of the summer of 1939. Not only did they have a specific system for labeling the paintings with stickers on the back, there was also a special system for labeling the crates, which indicated the department within the museum and the crate number. But in case there was a problem on the road, theft, in case there was a problem with the Germans, the Mona Lisa's case alone didn't have any markings. But a secret message had been passed to the curator who would receive it at the chateau where the painting was going, who would know, he was the only one who would know what case it was in.
There was also notations on the walls of the Louvre itself as to what was taken and where it was taken from.
Yes, they evacuated so quickly that they left the frames in place. Most of the paintings were removed from their frames to facilitate moving them because they would require much less volume. So they left the frames on the floor, leaning against the walls, and they made chalk markings on the walls to indicate what had been removed so it would facilitate their rehanging when the war would be over.
How long was the Mona Lisa away from the Louvre?
She left in August of 1939, and she was returned to Paris in 1945, but she did not go back up on the wall until 1947.
And in that time, was there only one location or several?
There were many locations. The museum administration had to determine where was the safest place for the paintings and antiquities. There were thousands and thousands also of antiquities, items of decorative art like jewelry, vases, rugs, that kind of a thing, sculptures. And they originally determined that the Loire Valley would be best because they felt it would be away from any potential anticipated areas of combat, but also relatively close to Paris because a lot of the restoration needed to be done in Paris. And there were also many, many chateaux to choose from. So originally, when the evacuation was conducted at the end of the summer and in the fall of 1939, everything went to the Loire Valley or a group of castles about 100 miles away. But the problem was, in the spring of 1940, when the Germans actually started pushing towards Paris, they had concluded that the Loire Valley was not safe either because it was within air target range of Paris. So in a matter of 2 weeks, as opposed to 10 years of planning, they had to move everything to, or move much of it to other chateaux, some of it further to the west, but much of it in the southwest of France. So it moved there in the spring, and then during the war it moved. They had to move it a number of other times for various reasons.
Were any antiquities lost in the process?
No. I mean, and that's the most amazing thing of all.
Right.
Is even there were some close calls, it all stayed safe.
And it was a mission accomplished.
It absolutely was in every way, which is extraordinary considering the appetites of the Nazis, not only Hitler, but also his henchmen. It was extraordinary because the Louvre administration not only faced those pressures, but also the fact that the French Vichy government, who were collaborators, in many cases would have been more than happy to let individual Germans get the pieces that they wanted. In addition, the Louvre was shot at, shells dropped on it, there were plane crashes, there was fire, there were bombs. So in every respect, between the Germans and the Vichy government and warfare itself, it's absolutely amazing that everything survived intact.
Equally amazing, and one of the things that I found so fascinating and enjoyed in reading your book, is the responsibility that the curators had, just to use the Mona Lisa as an example, of what they were going through to keep that painting safe.
Yes. Yes. Many times, which is interesting but also funny when you read stories around it, is it often slept at the bedside of the curators because they felt that was the safest place of all. However, if you surf the internet and even in some books, if you read about the story where it's mentioned in bits and pieces, it's Mona Lisa was at the bedside of every curator in France and in every chateau in France, which isn't the case. But it was obviously of the highest priority, so they kept it very, very close to them. They were constantly inspecting it. They were constantly inspecting the painting. They were inspecting the case, and that was, on occasion, the reason they had to move it, because of humidity or other concerns.
It is safe to say that while all of the artwork was saved and while all of the artwork was taken care of, certainly special precautions with Mona Lisa because of its iconic status and also because of its value, correct?
Yes. Yes. And in addition, because it's a very old, fragile painting.
Right. And the sense of history and the sense of what that loss would mean put extra pressure on all involved to make sure that it was safe.
Yes, and actually for a while there was an additional pressure that in the spring of 1940, as things heated up and Italy joined the war, a university in Italy published an article calling for the return of many paintings to Italy, including everything that the French owned by Da Vinci. So there was an additional level of concern that they, obviously backed by the Germans, would want the painting.
Having just seen her at the Louvre a few months ago, she seems very safe and sound now.
Yes, indeed.
And although you can only imagine that there's a plan in place.
I'm sure there is. One time when I went to visit, and it was easy for me to visit for 5 years, I lived in Paris. One day I got there just as the museum opened and did not go through the pyramid. I went through one of the other entrances, and they were just lifting large steel doors that separate one section from the other. So it's fascinating to see the precautions, the bits and pieces that you can glimpse of the precautions that they take to protect it. The same thing if you're there in half an hour before they close. It's extraordinary to see the precautions that they take for the safety of all the paintings.
Well, the book is fascinating. It's entitled Saving Mona Lisa, The Battle to Protect the Louvre and Its Treasures During World War II. The book is just amazing. And Jerry Chanel, I thank you very much for sharing the story with us.
My pleasure, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Saving Mona Lisa, The Battle to Protect the Louvre and Its Treasures During World War II. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.